for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, April the 5th, 2007. Ish Payne is the speaker of this service, teaching on Fight or Flight.
I'm almost scared to get up here after meeting all these other people. I wanted to hear what they had to say. Amen? And I am looking forward to that. I came here to get delivered. How about you?
Amen.
I came here to get free.
Yes.
I came here to learn more about my Jesus.
Amen.
I came here to learn more
Amen.
About the living God.
Amen.
And how I can glorify His name. And how His life can be manifest through my life to a world out there that is desolate and desperate to know the Savior. Now I want y'all to do me a favor, because I really think this is appropriate if I'm going to teach and minister. I don't want you to believe anything I say. Come on. I'm serious. Unless two conditions are met. One of them, it's got to line up with the Word. And you know, you get some funny interpretations of the Word.
That's true.
Because we all get it through different filters. But it's got to line up with the Word. And then the second thing I'd ask you to do is make sure it lines up with your spirit. Amen? You ever hear something and you just know it's not right?
Yeah.
But you ever hear something, you're not sure exactly what it is, but you know it is right? Well, so that's all I'm asking you, to see if it lines up with the Word and if it lines up with your spirit. Now then, if it does, it's no longer my problem, beloved.
Yeah.
It's yours. Amen?
Amen?
Now you got to decide what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
If it's hokey, you can throw it away. But if it's life and if it's true,
yeah,
then you might have to do something with it. Let's see, I didn't forget you guys. They're from Haiti, but they've been here for 18 years, see? So that's... I mean, they're my brother. We had a good time today, didn't we? Glenn took us on a tour of Highway 30, right? 70, whatever that road was. We did have a good time. Well, Glenn and I, they didn't know this, but Glenn and I went, we had more fun. We got to go to the bank, the post office, Walmart. You know why I love to go to Walmart, by the way? I don't want to digress here too far, but listen, if you're in Christ, you need to be in Walmart. We went to the accountant, yeah, and we got to pass by the track. But you need to go to Walmart, beloved, and I'll tell you why. And I'm not joking here, although it may come across a little funny. When I go to Walmart, let me tell you what I see. And I don't know why it's at Walmart. Maybe it's because I go there a lot. But when I see people walking through Walmart, I see them in chains. Spiritual, but I see them as if they're wrapped in chains. And a lot of in me wants to go up and grab and try to. Of course, I know it's spiritual. But I'm telling you, the reason I say this is so important, because what I see that God is doing in this hour with His church, who you are, He is trying to equip an army of men and women and children of all ages that are willing to go in there and rip the chains off. And they're going to be coming to you when they see. I was in the airport with it this morning, and I went through, I ate breakfast, and there's a little place I go in the Charlotte airport. Charlotte's a pretty big town, those of you who hadn't been there. And there was these two gals there, and they always greet me, and they always have this smile. And they were really busy, and you know, when you're working with the public like that, you don't get everybody's not always agreeable. And I happen to be, you know what I mean? They're not agreeable with ministers either all the time. And anyway, I was sitting. Again, am I getting in a bad spot? I'm okay. I was sitting in a place where I could hear what was going on with them, and they were being vexed somewhat by some people who were in a hurry and didn't know what they wanted and this sort of thing. And I was sitting there, and the Lord said, go bless them. And so I waited. I got rid of my tray, and I had all my stuff. And I waited until there was nobody in the line. And I went up to them, and these two gals, they don't know me. They don't know where I'm from. They don't know anything. And I went up to them, and they were just standing a little bit further away than you gals are right there. And I said, in Jesus' name, I speak a blessing. Will you receive it? And they said, "Praise God, brother, yes!" Good when you're here, right, isn't it? I knew I could see the Jesus smile, that they had something that was real. Amen? Now I want to ask you another question. Is God for you or against you? Okay, I figured y'all know that. If you came out here and you didn't know that, we'd be in trouble. But you know, the truth of the matter is there's much of the church that doesn't believe that. In fact, I would say, I can't qualify it, maybe some of these other folks can, but I would say that 80% of the church does not believe that God is for them. The Jeremiah 29:11, which I just happen to have open to right here, is a wonderful saying. I'm sure y'all know it. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, I would really want to encourage you, if you don't understand that and you really sense in your heart that maybe it's not deep down in your heart, to take that and copy it and put it on your refrigerator, on your mirror in the bathroom, on wherever you can keep that before your heart and before your mind, because your mind may need to be transformed, because many of us grew up not believing that God was for us. Because you see, if you don't believe God is for you, you're already pretty much whipped. You really are. I mean, I don't want to tell you something negative, but you're really pretty much whipped if you don't believe God is for you. Because God is for you. God's gotten a bum rap from most of the church for many, many years. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is I want to try to give you something, and I'm going to try to give you a lot really quick, but I know you can handle it. But is it arrogant to say that God wants us to know how He thinks?
No.
Right, amen. And we can know how He thinks, can't
yes,
we?
Amen.
We can know how He thinks by His Word.
Yes.
Now, I was just reading to you from the New King James, and people ask me frequently, which Bible do you like to read? And I always have the same answer for people. And I tell them, read the one that you will read. Amen? And then get another half a dozen translations and put them out there, and as you're studying, look them up in different places, because there is no perfect translation. All right, now, that's not our purpose, and that's as much as I'm going to say. But it's important that you understand that we can know how God thinks. Amen? And what is His thoughts towards us? They're good and not of evil. Now, do we have an enemy? Can we know how He thinks? Absolutely. We can know from John 10:10. He said that the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So when you came here today, and the people that are on their way here, and the weeks prior to this and everywhere else, the enemy had a plan for your life, and that was to steal from you, to kill you, or destroy you, and your family. And if I get another chance, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to share, but one of the things that I shared this in California, and I really shared it out there for the first time, but I shared the difference between a captive and a prisoner. And the Lord's been revealing that, unfolding more and more of that to me, because there is a difference. When we're involved in deliverance ministry, you got to deal with both. You've got to deal with prisoners and captives. And probably more than that, but I'm just narrowing it down to twos. Tonight I like twos, you know, seekers and satisfied, captives and prisoners. But there's a reason that you're captive, and you're captive for different reasons other than the ones that you're a prisoner. And we'll explain that in another session, I hope. If not, that'll give me an excuse to maybe have Glenn invite me back sometime, you see. So, now also, I'd like to, this book that I wrote, which Glenn has graciously got back there on the book table, and it's available for, I think, a $500 donation. I think, was that right? Yeah, something like that, yeah. But it, no. Hey, if you don't have money and you want one, we'll work something out. Amen? But I wanted to read something from you because I think it's important, because a lot of what I'm going to minister is right here in this book. And so if you don't get it all here, you might can get more of it there. And then, you know, you might not. But it's interesting. If I can take a little time, I want to just read you a couple things. This was Dr. Null will get a kick out of this. This is written by Dr. Roth, who is a surgeon in Oregon. He's now not practicing conventional medicine anymore. He's really trying to work with people in deliverance and in healing. And he wrote this for me in this book. He said, during my... Well, let me just... I don't want to read all this, but... My more recent path has led me to discover the amazing and unsurpassed power of identifying and releasing toxic negative emotions through forgiveness and repentance. In fact, it now is the number one tenet which I teach for optimal health and wellness. Pastor Ish has, I believe, captured and related these amazing healing truths in his new book, Life in the Red Zone, in a very readable and understandable way. And he goes on and says some more nice things, which I deeply appreciate. But he has been a wonderful brother to me. And then, how many of you know Mahesh and Bonnie Shabda? I'm surprised not more. They're from Charlotte. They have an international ministry. They didn't estimate, but they're estimated that their TV program is going into approximately 500 million plus homes in the 1040 window. And I don't want to go sidetrack here, but thousands upon thousands of Muslims are being converted because of visitations of the Holy God with visions and dreams, and they can't deny what's happening. Amen? I even heard last night, you remember the figure I was sharing with you in the car? Some wild figure about the number of people that the conversions that are taking place worldwide now are really phenomenal. One estimate was that 1 out of 2 Africans is converted. 1 out of 2 is converted. Indonesia, 20% of the population. Oh, Korea, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about Dr. Cho. Korea, they estimate that 1/4 of the population is Christian. Now, when they say Christian, they're not talking about we're not talking about Christers. You know what a Christer is, don't you? A Christer is someone who goes to church on Easter and Christmas. That's not necessarily a Christian. A Christian is someone who has made a decision to follow Jesus, right? And so, like the brothers and we were talking about today and coming from the airport, it's a lot different for them. It's not a cultural thing. It costs them maybe their life. It costs them to follow Jesus in Korea and Indonesia and in Africa and other parts of the world. And it's in Bulgaria and Romania and many, many places, which, of course, we're familiar with. But Bonnie Shabda, who's Mahesh's husband, they really got behind us on this project, and she wrote a very nice foreword for me, which I appreciate. I'm not going to take time to read that, but I would encourage you to get this book. It's short. It's not long. It's not a long read. It's a very easy read. And many people are, I'm getting a lot of repeat orders, which is exciting. I sold 400 in California the other day. They're using it in their classes because it covers a lot of ground. And the end result, beloved, let me share something with you and hear this right now. You got a lot of things I say quick, and you got to hear it, the whole fullness of it, and get it in the context. But really, ministry is not, the way I'm teaching it, is not about healing and deliverance. You go, wait a minute, I came for deliverance. Amen, I did too. Ministry is about relationships. Because generally, I would believe in the last 10 or 12 years of my life, I found that the problems that I had were relational problems that brought on other problems. Because you see, you're not going to have need of deliverance until there's been a relationship broken that allowed the enemy to get in and get a foothold into your life. And the same thing's true even with healing. Dr. Null's book, which I haven't had the pleasure of reading yet, but if rejection, if you're living with rejection and its roots and its fruits, I can tell you, you're headed for sickness. It's guaranteed. Well, I won't say guaranteed. You might get blessed and but most of the time, it's going to be, and it's consistent that it's there because what happened to you, and that's what I want to try to explain to you tonight, if we can look at this. Are y'all okay? Amen. Everybody awake? Do we need to stand up and jump? All right, okay. Now, when we're thinking about healing, we're thinking about deliverance, we need to understand how the enemy works, and we need to understand how he thinks, and we looked at that, he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But I like to look at 3 things if you're taking notes. You might want to make a note of this. The first thing the devil does to you is he deceives you. Amen? That way, I'm not going to go back and look at all these scriptures because we could spend an hour on each one of these 3 points. That's why we're not going to do that. But he has to deceive you in some way, and he does that by making you listen. You got to hear something. Okay? Now, again, there's many ways we hear, but just think about that. Now, the second thing that happens to us, after he's got us deceived, he wants to get a foothold into our life. I always think of, I don't know why I get this mental picture, but the Fuller Brush Man. You know, a lot of people don't remember him, but you all remember him. You know, he come around, and the old jokes when if you try to shut the door on him, he'd stick his foot in the door so you couldn't shut the door so he could keep talking to you and keep getting more conversation. Well, that's a foothold. And what happens with a foothold, once the foothold is established, now you're not just hearing what's going on. You're what? Listening. You're listening. So you've already taken two quick steps towards a very slippery slope of possibly being demonized or worse. Okay? All right, then the third thing, and this is where it really gets tricky, and this is why I believe that as Glenn and I were talking today, deliverance is a lifelong process. Come on, amen? I don't believe, don't think you're going to come to Lake Hamilton and leave here Sunday and never have another issue. Now, I do believe that you could. I do believe that you could, because Jesus and Paul said it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Said, never has a temptation given you that God hasn't got a way out of. And you see, we're always only as free as our next choice. Come on. We're only as free as our next choice. So if we make the wrong, what? Choice, we're no longer free. Okay? So that's how close we are to losing our freedom at any given time. But if you live in fear over losing that freedom, you've already lost it. Because then you've made Satan bigger than our God. Amen. And he is not.
Amen.
Woo, God, I get so upset with Christians that make the devil bigger than God. Come on. He is not.
No.
Well, we won't even go. I don't want to get there. All right, now the way you know this is a stronghold is because now you're not just hearing it, you're not just listening to it, you're living it. You're living it. It's become a part of you. It's become a part of your programming. It's become a part of your lifestyle. Do you see the difference? Now, that's very insidious because you usually don't see it. It's just there. That's where generational curses also come into. They're already there. They've been passed down through the desolation of generations from one generation to another generation. And we take on these things. It's just the same reason if you went in to see Dr. Null as a pediatrician, he's going to ask you a family history. Is he?
Is
it? And he wants to know that for physical reasons, but the same thing is true in spiritual reasons. And I had another surgeon friend in Atlanta, and he said of all the surgeries he's ever done, he said it's very frustrating as a surgeon because he knows most of the times when he has time to really talk to the people that they're going to be back. Because cutting out the issue that was manifest was not cutting out the issue at all.
Amen.
And you see, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. This is very important. Get a hold of this. I am not against medical science. I'm not against psychology. I'm not against psychiatry. But I'm just telling you, I am for Jesus.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And the church has the answers.
Amen.
They just don't know it. And so I believe that you could take a group of people just like this that could get a hold of these truths and go out and teach others to do these truths because people will come to you in droves if they think you've got answers. I was on the way back from Oregon there a few weeks ago. A little girl came in and sat down, and I tell you the truth, I was pretty tired and I really didn't want to talk. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but I was kind of glad when she started talking to this other guy. She was in between me and him. And he was a high school swimming coach, and my kids, I got two high schoolers still that swim. And so I was kind of listening and trying to doze. And anyway, finally she turned to me and said, "Are you going or coming?" You know, how many of you fly often? You know, you get these questions, you know. "Are you going or coming?" You know, "Yeah, well, I'm going home." "Where you been?" You know. "Well, I've been in Oregon." "What are you doing in Oregon?" "Well, I'm teaching a seminar." "What are you teaching a seminar on?" I said, "God." You know, that'd usually freak them out one way or another. She said, "Really, I'm a Roman Catholic." I said, praise. So I said, and so this is what I did. Now, the reason I pulled this out of my wallet, and we're going to look at this in a few minutes. In fact, those of you who already got one, this is my little red zone chart. Okay? Now, by the way, this red zone chart is copyrighted. And you know what that means? That means that you have the right to copy it. Amen? And I want you to, because I want you to teach. So I got one of these things in my wallet, so I'm talking to her, and I say, yeah, right here. So I start explaining. In fact, can we whip that thing up there? Because I don't want to, I'm start talking about, can we divert for a minute, and I want to show you a picture of my family? You think we can do that? I got really, or are we too far off the base? The nice one. Which one? This is just for fun. Y'all okay? Dun, dun, dun. Oh, can you see that? Can you see them? That's my wife in the middle and my 16-year-old on this side and my 14-year-old on that side. And that was, we did my youngest son's wedding. And that was about a year ago. And my girls, the one on this side, she's, you know, doesn't mind getting dressed up, but the other one's an all-star softball player, and she kind of laughed. She said, okay, Dad, you got me one time dressed up. So now I want to show you what they really look like. There you go. That's more like it. I left them at home this morning at a little about 5:30, quarter six. They were doing fine. They're sweet. All right, now let's go to the next slide because this is what I want to try to share with you for a minute. All right, can y'all see that? Okay, if you can't, I can pass out some more of these. Anybody like to have their own personal copy here? Would you hand some of those out, brother? Now, don't feel bad about letting me know if you want to help me make more. Was that subtle enough? I've got about $2 in each one of those. And if I get it, fine. If I don't, that's fine. And if you don't have big ones, I got little ones too. I mean, listen, I'm packed with these things. Will you hand out some of those? Hand out some of those. Those are wallet size. And I would encourage you, listen, how many of you want to lead people to Jesus? Amen. This is a wonderful tool. It is a wonderful tool. I didn't realize it when I developed, actually my wife developed it. I didn't realize what it was in terms of evangelism until I started just sharing it with people. Because, you know, I'm on a lot of planes, and I'm in a lot of different places, and people are always saying, well, what do you do? I mean, it's just kind of, you know, the American thing. What do you do? What do you do? Well, I'm in the ministry. Well, what kind of ministry? A lot of people, if you say you're in the ministry, they change the subject real quick because they don't want to hear. But a lot of them will say, well, what kind? And so what I do, like I did with this girl, I whip this thing out. And see, I've got all kinds of them. This one's an older one. Gosh, I don't even have a big one. That's all right. No, I need one right in the other part. Well, I can get in a minute. That's okay. I can get it from you. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm fine. Just make sure everybody gets one. Yeah, make sure that little girl back there gets one. She's so sweet. There's some guys back there. Okay. Now, this is important, beloved, because this is when you understand these principles here, you'll understand why you're tormented. Come on. Is that good to know? Or okay, everybody got one? Everybody got one? She got one? Let me have one, that dark one, because that one's got, there are a little different. We keep changing it around. My wife designed this a few years ago when I was actually, you got one? And I was trying to explain what I'm getting ready to explain to you with hand signals. And she said, honey, nobody knows what you're talking about. So she drew it on a big board. And then I carried that board with me for a long time, rolled up, you know, in a poster board. And then somebody said, well, you could put that on a CD or a D. I said, really? How do you do that? I mean, it's amazing what you can do with stuff. So I have to get my kids to help me do all this stuff, you know. Then I come in here and we've got some people that know how to do this stuff. So this is really cool. Anyway, so I'm talking to this lady and I'm explaining this to her. Now, I didn't go into this much detail with her, but this is what I'm doing. I pull this out of my wallet. And I'm sitting there in the airplane with her, and I'm explaining this to her. Now, I want to give you a little more detail. But this is it. Now, you all can all see that, and you've got one in your hand. So if you look at this, this came out of a medical textbook per se with a lot of additions. Now, the peace, homeostasis, the resistance, and fight or flight is right out of a medical textbook. I did the 1 through 10. I put in the colors, and I named it, or my wife named it, the red zone. And there was a reason she did that. Now, many people want to spend a whole day and all teaching on the medical dynamics of this, and that's fine, and I've done that, and I've been through those teachings, and they're wonderful. But I want to give you a quick synopsis, because you don't have to have that whole thing to understand what it's doing to you physically. Okay? Now, the first thing you want to understand is peace or homeostasis. That's in the green zone, right? Now, Dr. Null, he'll recognize all this. He took all this 10 years ago when he was in med school, right? He got all this down pat. But peace is where God designed you and I to live when we were born. Actually, He wanted us to, before the foundation of the world, He designed that we would live in peace. But we don't always live in peace, do we? All right, but now that's homeostasis. That's all that word means, is just peace. It's just chilling, as my children say. Just chill, Dad. Just chill. Now they've gotten smarter and they say, Dad, try to achieve a little homeostasis in your life, you know? It would help us. You know how I can know when I've lost my homeostasis? I've got a a black lab. And my black lab is my barometer. When I start getting out of sorts, I can watch her. And her literally, I'm not joking. I can tell. She can know either there's something that I do. It's either an inflection, a tone of voice, or mannerisms. And she knows that, peace is no longer apparent in Daddy. So I watch her. It's a good thing. It's a good stopgap. Anyway, so you got peace where we want to live, and then we're going to go to the top part, because this is the one that we can all understand. It's called fight or flight. Okay? Now, what is fight or flight? Fight or flight is that thing that happens to you and that God designed for you so that you could run and fight in times of trouble. Now, when I was a policeman some years ago, I had this experience that I like to relate, because this, most of us have got stories like this of one kind or another. But Dickie Roberts, who was a friend of mine, he and I were in the Marine Corps together, and we happened to be working, actually not the same district, but we were right on the same edge of the district, and he got a call. He had stopped a drunk driver, and I was called to back him up because we were just in one-man cars. And so I got there, and it was early in the morning, 1:30 or 2 o'clock, and he had a... How many of you know what a Bubba truck is? Nobody knows what a Bubba truck is? You see them. You're from Texas, right? A Bubba truck, that doesn't mean there's any... They're cheap trucks. They're usually expensive trucks, but they got the big wheels. They're the really nice... This guy had a really nice, high-dollar pickup truck, and he was really, really drunk. And Dickie was there, and I got there after Dickie did. And what Dickie was trying to do, and I remember my buddy and I, we'd been in the 2nd Marine Division together, and we'd known each other for a long time. And he's around on the passenger door side trying to get into the door so he can steal his keys. And I'm on the driver's side door trying to entertain him, trying to just keep him from driving off. Probably looked like Larry Moe and Curly if we could have videoed it. And so anyway, I'm sitting there, and now I'm going to use... you got to kind of help me here, because I'm having to try to do something that I don't really have the right equipment to do. Well, let's just pretend that he's in the truck right here, okay? And I'm down here trying to talk to him. Actually, the truck was up a little higher. And suddenly, as I'm talking to him, and I'm just trying to entertain him and keeping him unfocused off of what Dickie's trying to do, I heard something coming from this direction, and I saw something out of the side of my eye, and I instinctively, without thought, I didn't plan it. I didn't say go to 101, avert danger here. I just stepped up into the truck, reached up under here, grabbed whatever you'd call that, the headliner, and pulled as close as I could to it. And when I did that, behind me came a Camaro or a Grand Am, white, green, and color, came down the left rear quarter panel of that truck, came behind me, took off the door, and the left front quarter panel. I felt the heat in the wind, and it was just that fast. And this guy's sitting there, and he's drunk, and he says, "What was that?" And I said, "Brother, that was your door." And he said, "Where's it going?" I said, "I don't know." And by the way, it's not important, but we never did find the guy that did that. And I thought that was pretty cool. And some more people came, and I got to break from the scene, and I went to get in the car. And I had done something that you're never supposed to do, and I was never supposed to turn off my police car, and I had done it. And so I had to get in there and turn it on. And when I went to put my foot on the gas and to sit down, nothing would work. That's fight or flight. That's an extreme level of fight or flight. But let me tell you something. I didn't have to tell my body to do it. Why? Because God designed me that way. Now, if you want, you can read it in my book, and you can read in the college textbook what's happened to you during that time. And I don't know, how long could you stay in that condition and live? You go into shock, I guess, right? Nobody's ever been able to tell me exactly, but you wouldn't. That's why you have a lot of post-traumatic stress from wars and stuff, because men and women live in that extreme height fight or flight. Now, that's just so you understand what's happening to you. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you say, body, don't go into fight or flight? No. You're going to go into fight or flight. That's why you read these funny stories about little old grandmothers picking up cars off kids. Nobody can do that, but they did it. Because in that moment, so many things are happening to you. Now, okay, now look with me, if you will. That's just so you can understand the dynamics. Look at that middle part that I've tagged the red zone. There it says resistance, which is the medical term. Okay? That's the important part I want you to get a hold of. Because, beloved, let me submit something to you. This is why many of us are sick. This is why many of us are sick physically, emotionally, and or spiritually. And it's because we're living... You see, fight or flight doesn't really start up here. Technically, from a medical standpoint, fight or flight starts right here. The minute you lose your peace, you're in fight or flight. You're just in a low level. That's why I tried to demonstrate it with this. Now, if you can get a hold of this, it can affect your life. It can also affect a lot of other people's lives because you can have an opportunity to share with them. Now, keep in mind, there's nothing you can do about this. You can't say, body, don't do that. Your body's going to keep doing that. Now, I've got on some of these, I don't know if you can read that too well up there, but I said there, here's some of the danger zones. Strife, guilt, shame, stress, anxiety, fear, bitterness, unconfessed sin, broken heart, hope deferred, and many, many others. Those are all issues that many of us deal with, what? Every day, don't we? Hope deferred, what? Makes the heart sick. Why do you think it said that? Now, how does it make the heart sick? It makes the heart sick because when hope is deferred, you go into the red zone and things are happening to you that you have no control of until that hope deferred is resolved. And trust me, the only place it's going to be resolved is where? In Him. Come on. Are you with me? You know, I mean, this is... We could spend a week here just looking at different aspects of this, but it all comes back down to Him. Amen? This is very, very important. We've got to get a hold of that because that's where the reality of this thing, it's where the, quote, rubber meets the road. Because this is why things are happening. Now, there's a lot more to it than this, but in a nutshell, I like to explain it like this. When you're in fight or flight, the low stage, I'm not talking about that stage up here. A couple things that are, a lot of things are happening, but two important things are happening. You're getting too much adrenaline going through your blood. You're getting too much cortisol. Now remember, what's the key here? You can't say, adrenaline, don't do it. Cortisol, quit. No, no, that don't work. It's doing it because God designed you to do that because what God wants your body to do is bring itself back into what? Homeostasis. So it's always trying to get back. Now, the problem with that is, if you've got too much adrenaline and too much cortisol going through your body, here's what's happening. Two big things, more obviously, but the two big things. Your T cells and your B cells are being slowly destroyed. Now, why is that important? What's your T cells and your B cells? Your immune system. Thank you. Now, is that simple enough?
Yes.
That's really simple. Okay, so now you say, well, I don't have experiences like that. I was never a policeman. I wasn't in the Marine Corps, you know, and all that. No, no, trust me, you have experiences. Those are not the experiences that make you sick unless you stay in them. I'll give you a couple of examples. I got a call one day from a lady, never met her. She said, I understand, Ish, that you might have some understanding as to why I might be sick. Now, I'm not going to tell you much about her because I don't want you to start trying to figure things out, because I tell you what the devil loves to do, too. You know, the devil is the accuser. And if I were to mention what she had and you knew somebody that had it or you had it, one of the first things you'll start thinking, because the devil will put it on you, that's your problem. You see, spiritual roots are in such can be very dangerous when they're not handled properly. Okay? You've got to be very careful. Spiritual roots and dealing with these dimensions is not a science. It's not a science, and people try to make it a science, and they get in trouble, and they get you in trouble. By the way, I was going to confirm something. Of course, I don't need to confirm it from Brother Glenn, but I was thinking when you were telling the story about private prophecy, I've got a good friend who was prophesied over that by the time she was 43, she would be dead. Now, most people would realize that's not a prophecy you're going to listen to anyway. It was a curse. Well, she's now 46, 47, 48, maybe, I'm not sure, and had her last baby when she was 45. Thank you. She got delivered. But I want to tell you something. She was tormented by that.
Sure.
She was tormented and living in the red zone, and her body broke down, and a lot of other issues that I don't even go to. But now she's been delivered, she's been freed, and she's gotten well in that. But that's how powerful false, improper prophetic word. I'm so glad Glenn said that.
Amen.
Because you've got to be very, very careful.
Yes, sir.
I keep prophetic words that are spoken over me the best I can remember them. Some of them are 25 and 30 years old. And about once every 3 or 4 years, I find them by chance. And it's amazing to look at them. Some of them I've seen come to pass in the last few years. But you know what? My life isn't controlled by that word.
Amen.
My life is controlled by this word.
Amen?
Yes, there's a big difference. So you have to be careful. But I believe in the prophetic. Yes. Anyway, so this lady calls me and she says this, that, and the other. And I said, well, she gave me a wonderful opening. She said, I heard that bitterness can be a problem. I said, well, absolutely. Bitterness can be a problem. Bitterness can put you in the red zone. And I'd already explained this to her. And she understood it pretty well. And I said, you know, do you have any bitterness towards your husband? Well, he actually was on the phone, literally, with her. And she said, no. And I could tell they were, you know, you can usually tell they were doing fine. I said, well, how about your children, your grandparents? You know, I went through just a quick list of trying to find somebody that she might have a relationship problem with. And everybody's fine. And so I was just about to hang up. I was getting a little frustrated because I couldn't find anything. Not that I, you know, because the way she was talking. So finally I said to her, I said, by the way, I said, you haven't mentioned whether you had any siblings. She said, well, I've got two sisters, but I haven't seen them in 20 years. Well, now, this woman was a Christian. She was spirit-filled. She was a woman's leader in her church. I mean, she was no slouch. She knew the Lord. And so when she said that to me, my immediate thought was, these two sisters are in Timbuktu on the mission field. Because why else wouldn't she have seen them? So I almost passed it by. And I said, well, why haven't you seen them? She said, well, when Mother died, we got in a big argument about the tea set. And we haven't spoken in 20 years. Come on, church. Come on, church. Do you think she might have had a little bitterness? Did she recognize it?
No.
No, she didn't recognize it. Was she born again?
Yes.
Was she spirit-filled? But she didn't recognize the issue that she had in her life. So for 20 years, now I know this woman well, she has been living in the red zone. Her T cells, her B cells have been breaking down. Her immune system has been breaking down. And guess what? One of the big ones coming along caught her broadside. I was talking to a pastor out in the Midwest. We were having coffee. By the way, coffee shops are the best place to minister. Or whatever that means to you. I mean, literally, you know. Yeah, well, you know, you can get tea. Or ice cream, or, you know. Oh, yeah. We had a laugh about that today, too, didn't we? Anyway, we were literally having a meal of coffee or something, and he asked me the question. He said, do you know anything about this, that, and the other. And I said, well, I don't know what's going on. And he told me. And I said, well, one thing I said, I'd always be looking for just as a believer, and he's a pastor, remember? I said, I'd be looking for any bitterness you had in your life or any issues like that. And this is a quick conversation. And I said, you know, your wife get along, you know, yeah, we're fine. And, you know, we went through, you know, he loved his dog and everything. I mean, everything was perfect. And literally, I mean, it was like everything was fine. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, but I can tell you this, no matter what the issue is, I said, whenever you find yourself out of sorts and you're out of kilter spiritually, come back in, because do you know that 6 minutes of negative thinking, listen to this, this is awful. 6 minutes of negative thinking will suppress your immune system for over 20 hours.
Wow.
6 minutes. Come on. 6 minutes will suppress your immune system for over 20 hours. By the way, eating a Snickers bar will suppress it for about 8 hours. That's the truth. Yeah, I know. What? I said, it is the truth. Oh, he didn't hear. I said, eating a Snickers bar will also suppress it for about 6 or 8 hours. How is that? It's ungodly is all I can tell you. It's just not fair. Well, sugar has, now I don't want to go into all that, and I'm not even qualified, but sugar is a killer. Okay? It really is. Sugar is a killer. And I mean, I'm not here to debate that. It's undeniable. And I happen to like sugar and ice cream, and those things are, you know, one of my questions I'm going to ask when I get there is, how come chocolate is so good that you couldn't eat busloads of it? You know, but anyway, let's go on. So anyway, I'm talking to him and everything's fine. And then all of a sudden he says this to me. He said, would it matter if I hated my brother-in-law? I thought I hadn't heard him right. I said, excuse me? He said, would it matter if I hated my brother-in-law? I said, it could make a little difference, yeah. Now, he's a pastor. Now, so he started telling me about his brother-in-law. I was starting to hate him, too. He was a jerk. But you see, that doesn't relieve us, does it?
No, it doesn't.
By the way, I'm not going to tell you what his disease was either, but I will tell you this. He's totally healed. You see, if you go to bed at night, it's possible, just think with me, if you go to bed at night thinking if maybe you see that person that offended you in Walmart parking lot, that you might can run over them gently, you might have a little bitterness. Amen? Or if you see them in church and you want to cross the aisle and strangle them in love, you might have a little bitterness. But you see, people that have it don't know it. Now, you usually do know it, but it's so... See, that's what's happened. It's become not just a foothold, it's now become a stronghold. And those things that are going on, you even generational, that's why deliverance is so important. That's why healing is so important, because there's these things that got to be dealt with. See, that's why relations are got to be so. What was the product? You see, here's something you got to be careful with. I don't believe for a moment that God can't heal every disease in this room.
That's right.
I know He can. In fact, one of the exciting things is when I go into a meeting and I go in and do meetings, I know that God's going to heal. I know it. You say, well, you're arrogant. No, I know my God.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
All. And I've seen Him do it so many times that I don't think much more about it. When I left Charlotte, North Carolina on the plane today, I was sound asleep when I took off. And I didn't even realize we were flying until we were up somewhere. When I get on that plane, I don't think about whether that pilot knows how to do it. I get nervous if I look out and they're bolting on the wing, you know, or something. But and my son's an aviation mechanic and something, you know, but I never mind. But I know that that plane's going to be okay. I mean, basically. Well, the same thing. I know that God wants to heal. And I know that God wants to deliver. So, hey, if He wants to do it, who are we to say He's not going to?
Amen.
Come on. That's easy. That's a no-brainer, right? So, but you see, so you got to be careful though, because if you can take people, and I've seen it happen, and so have you. You can get them delivered, and they may have seven times worse come back. Because they better be thinking about, why am I in this mess? Why am I in this mess? What's going on with me? Now, that doesn't mean that there's, you know, that's why people like Dr. Null write books like Rejection. Because it's complicated. And you need to understand it. And it takes time. Do you see, an issue is not passed until it's resolved. Come on. Did you hear that? See, that woman who had the two sisters and they were mad about the tea set, that's still a present issue. It is not a past issue. It's only past in time, but not in terms of resolution. And until the issue is resolved, it's still right here. It's still right in your face. And while it's in your face, all that stuff right there is happening, is breaking your body down. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, are y'all? Am I going too fast, too slow? There's a, met this woman, she was a wife of an associate pastor. Oh, let me finish. I didn't finish telling you this story. Well, I can tell you the story while I'm doing this too. Y'all okay? This lady on the airplane, remember her? I forgot her there for a minute. And we got talking about the charts. Anyway, so we start talking, and so I'm explaining what I just explained to you, but I'm doing it real fast and just, you know, just using this little wallet card. And she said, "My, that's interesting." She said, "You know," she said, "I was just diagnosed with lupus." And I think the other thing, not osteoporosis, but no, it wasn't fibromyalgia, but something, there was another one. Something, some type of osteoarthritis. Is that a real thing? No, fine. It wasn't fibromyalgia, but lupus. And I wanted to say to her, and I didn't because it wouldn't have been right, but I wanted to say, "Honey, I don't believe you got lupus. I believe you got issues." And I do believe that. But it wasn't the time to say it yet. And she said, "Do you know anything about those things?" And I said, "Well, fibromyalgia." I said, "I had a friend that got healed," and I said, and I handed her my book. I had a copy of it. And I said, "Read this story." Now I want to read this story to you. She says, this is a gal up in Kentucky. Y'all, there's some people here from Kentucky. Who's a Kentuckyite? Raise your hand. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. I believe you're from Lexington, right? Did I remember? Anyway, she's Carla, sweetheart. This is her story. She said, "Dear family and friends, I want to share what the Lord has done for me. I've had fibromyalgia for..." How many of you got fibromyalgia? Anybody in here? You don't have to be bashful. Okay. "I've had fibromyalgia for almost 5 years. As you know, the Lord spared my life in a horrible car accident in 2000. I had been suffering chronic pain ever since. I have gone through physical therapy, surgery to remove two herniated discs in my neck, physical therapy again, two pain specialists, many prayer lines, and thousands of dollars of medication. I continued to deal with severe headaches, painful tight muscle spasms in my neck, shoulders, and back, severe joint pain, body stiffness, depression, sleeplessness, backaches, extreme exhaustion, and many more inconveniences." Makes me hurt just reading that. Think of the torment of that woman. Some of you are there too, and have been. "Through a process of identifying sin, I saw that I had been holding on to a lot of anger, resentment, unforgiveness, self-hatred, and bitterness from the accident." Come on now. Now, Jesus said offenses must come.
And woe unto
you, right? They're going to come, beloved. It's just part of it. Somebody's got an ice cream machine in here. I heard it. Did you hear it, Glenn? It's the ice cream cart. And that means they owe you and I some ice cream, right? Particularly if they got a key to your house. If they got a key to your house, they got to get us some ice cream. Okay. That's what I always think about when I hear from them. Don't worry about it. Lord bless them. Wait, you don't need to. I'm having fun. Are y'all having fun? You know, ministry is fun, is it not? Don't get too serious about this thing. I mean, you better be serious about it, but don't get too serious. Okay, anyway, now listen to this. said through a process. Okay, I said that. An ugly court battle over the medical bills from the accident. As well, listen to this, as my childhood and the death of my father. Now, all this happened to her in 2 days, the healing and deliverance. Come on. 2 days. This had been going on for 5 years. But what happened in her childhood and the death of her father was what? That was, I can't know the time frame, but her childhood was, she's a grandmother, so it had to be some years before. Okay? Now, she said, the principles of repentance and forgiveness have set me free. During praise, I realized that I was pain-free as I could raise my arms to worship the Lord without the pain. I was in awe. I kept looking over to my left shoulder to see if the pain was really gone or if it was going to show up at any second. I have been pain-free from fibromyalgia and its ugly symptoms ever since. The healing is even more impressive due to the fact that I took hydrocodone 5 times daily to lessen the pain. Cyclobenzaprine, a muscle relaxer, 3 to 4 times a day. Trazodone, a sleep medication that only sometimes worked, and I can't count the number of nights I spent up all night. I also took ibuprofen, 800 milligrams, every 4 hours. No wonder she was sick. I mean, if the thing hadn't gotten her that, all those medications would have. She didn't say that, I did. I have been drug-free ever since. And people have had to go through drug rehab to get off hydrocodone, which is true. Now, remember, my little friend from Oregon is sitting between me and the swimming coach. She's reading this story, and I'm just letting her read the story. And she got done, and I could tell she was looking at me. When I looked at her, she was weeping. She said, "That's me." I said, "Honey, you've had a man somewhere in your life that has really done you dirty, haven't you?" And, man, she really started crying. And I said, "Who is it?" It was her husband. They were now divorced. She came out of one. Well, I already told you she was Roman Catholic by background. He was Pentecostal. Everything was fine until they had a baby. And guess what the issue became? Baptism. And I didn't have to dig much deeper, and I found out there was other issues too. So we landed in Minneapolis. And we're going down the thing. And I said, "Will you take my hand? Will you hold my hand?" And she said, "Yes." So she took my hand, and I just prayed for her. And I took authority over every demon from hell of pain and sickness and fibromyalgia and all those drugs. And she was trying to fight those drugs because she didn't want to be on those drugs. They didn't do nice things to her. And now she's really crying. And I had to get off the plane, and I left her, and people said, "You left her?" Yeah, you know why? She's God's kid, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for the moment. I did send her a book and wrote her a letter. Beloved, there's many opportunities that we can have when we understand what's going on. I was at a CBA convention some years ago. CBA is Christian Booksellers Association. 12,000 people in this 10-acre deal in Orlando, big convention center. And it's all the booksellers. I mean, all these people, all these books here, you got 10 or 12,000 people, you can imagine. I mean, all kinds of things. Church supplies, musicians. My kids went with me, and they came home with literally a stack of CDs, music CDs and stuff. My youngest girl stood in line to get Beth Moore's signature for 2 hours. She was having fun, you know. All kinds of people. And I kept seeing this lady coming, and I could see her as she would cross an aisle. She had on kind of a funny outfit, and I was trying to figure out what it was. And finally she came down our aisle, and so I stepped out and I said, "Okay, what gives? Tell me what it is." And what it was, and I can't tell you who it was or anything, and I can't get too specific because we're on tape, but she was a beauty pageant queen. And she had written a book, and she had on her outfit. You know, I mean, they did, this is all a lot of commercialization and trying to promote stuff. And so she was real sweet, and we started talking, and my wife and I were there, and my grown son, my oldest son, he was there helping us with it. And remember now, this is just a booksellers thing. And she's looking at books, and I was actually with Wellspring Ministries at the time, and we had their books there, similar material. And she said, "Do you know anything about fibromyalgia?" I said, "Well, a little bit." Do you have it? And she said, yeah. I said, how long have you had it? She said, 2 years. Now, to look at this woman, she's young, she's attractive, she's got the world by her blonde hair, right? And her sash. But she's honest. And she told me that, and she said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I said, phew. I kind of gave her the spiel. I said, you know, one thing, no matter what's going on, you want to live in homeostasis. You want to have peace with God and peace with other people and peace with yourself. You have that. She said, yeah, I really do. And so I asked her a couple of questions, and honestly, I really felt like she did. And so I really don't know what to say to this gal. And so she says back, I tell you, God is so good.
Amen.
He's so good. And she said, would it make any difference if my father committed suicide? And it was kind of like, I didn't tell her this, it was like up jumped the rabbit. I said, yes, it could make a difference. And I said, how was your relationship with your dad? And she said, oh, it was excellent. I loved him, and he loved me. We had a wonderful relationship. And I said, well, I know that was hard. And she said, yes. She said, it was totally unexpected. And the Lord dropped a word of knowledge in my heart, and I laid it on her right there. Now, remember, we're in front of 12,000 people, and she's got her sash on and her tiara and her heels. And I said, have you forgiven him for killing himself? And she was on the floor. And if my son hadn't been there to catch her and put her in a chair, she would have literally been on the floor. God put his finger on it. God put his finger on it that she was holding on to that resentment and that anger and that bitterness towards that father who had killed himself. And they got along fine. You know, my first thought was that, you know, there had been something irreconcilable. And so for all this time she'd been living in, because if you look at disease, many times disease will come following something traumatic. Not always, but many times. And she came 2 days later. I didn't see her the next day. And she came back 2 days later and she said, I just want to tell you that for 2 days now, I have been pain-free. And so I reminded her, if she'd been 2 days pain-free, she ought to stay pain-free. Amen? There wasn't a reason. She got there. Don't go back. But I didn't have a lot of... Well, it gets more exciting because the next year I was there and I saw her again. Same outfit, same tiara. And now she's running. And she ran down that aisle, and I felt pretty hot. Embrace me. Yeah, my wife's standing right there. And, you know, she's crying. She said, 1 year, pain-free. No meds, pain-free. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did that take days and weeks? No. It just took the mighty hand of God to put his finger on her, to touch it. But she had some things going on there that she needed to deal with, and she did. But she didn't know that. And you see, all that time that she didn't know that, she's living in that place called the red zone. My little girl, Lexi, because resistance is the true medical term, she said, you know what that really means, Dad? I said, what? She said, that means resisting the Holy Ghost. And it really is. It really does. Turn with me to Matthew 6. All right, here we go. Matthew 6, verse 9. I want to do something with you. Y'all got to pay attention now. Are y'all with me? Our Father, you can do it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Stop right there. Don't go any further. Whoa! Hold the phone. Don't pray anymore. Let me tell you what the next statement was, that I wouldn't let you pray. You said, Father, forgive us our debts. And I said, stop, before you said, as we forgive our debtors. Now, why is that important? Now, I don't know how you grew up, but I can tell you how I grew up. I grew up in a denominational situation that at 11:22 on every Sunday morning, we recited the Lord's Prayer. And at 11:59:45, we were out of there. And nobody ever told me what I was doing. But here's what I was doing. Every time I was reciting that, and I was saying, Father, forgive me my sins and my debts as we forgive others their debt towards us. He heard it. Every angel heard it. Every demon heard it. We just made a covenant with hell and with God to perform His word. And nobody taught me that it was what I was doing. Meaning, I thought I was okay, that just by reciting it I was going to get somewhere. But you don't, do you? No. In fact, you see what you do, you're locking yourself in to a verbal commitment, and now the enemy's got a foothold in your life. Because then when you go to bed at night thinking about those people that you want to strangle, seriously, come on. We forget what God did for us on the cross. We forget that He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He said, do this. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And how often, I know, listen, and I don't want to go into too many stories here because we're going to move on here, but for years, I lived in the red zone because of things that happened to me as a kid in a military school. Because I grew up in an environment that this is what they taught. First runner-up is first loser. Well, that puts you in the red zone. Because competition and comparison always puts you in the red zone. And it puts you into rejection, which puts you in the red zone. And all these things that are going on. And so I grew up in an environment where I could never, ever measure up. Ever. From the time I was in preschool, even in pre-Sunday school, I was one of the littlest kids around. If you look at my pictures back then, everybody comes along like this, and then I'm down here. So when it was come time to pick the teams, who got picked last? Well, you know what that did to me? It made me really cranky. Really cranky. So I always constantly had a chip on my shoulder, and I always had something to prove. And you read about that in the book. But you see, those are the things that bring you into the red zone. It's a relational problem. We're going to pray here in just a minute. I was in Alaska. Was walking early morning. How many of you ever been to Alaska? It gets really cold. And it was about 20 below, and I'm bundled up, and I'm walking, and it's really dark. Somebody had been telling me about the bears and the moose, how they come out of the woods, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking about bears and moose and kind of wanting to pray and be spiritual, you know. And I'm not really being very spiritual or praying. I'm thinking about moose and bear and just walking and just having a kind of a good time in the 20 below zero weather. Thinking about what's coming on that day. I was up there to do a seminar. I did. I kind of cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do you want from me? Anybody ever prayed that prayer? It's not a bad prayer. And you know, God did something to me, and He does this to me a lot. He didn't answer my question directly. He answered my question with another question. And He said to me, what do you want from your girls? Now, you saw my two girls. That's one of the reasons I showed them to you. And I had to think for a minute. And I said, Father, I don't care if they ever make straight A's. I don't care if they ever, you know, are homecoming queen or softball stars or piano, you know. In other words, I just want them to, they don't have to do any of those special things. I said, what I'd really like, Father, is for them to be able to come to me as dad and just kind of sit in my lap, put their arm around me and say, Daddy, thank you for being there. And He said to me, He said, that's what I want from you. He said, and that's all I want from you. Change my life. Change my ministry. Because you see, beloved, now I don't care if I ever minister again. I don't care if I ever see anybody healed or delivered. Now I do care, obviously, or I wouldn't be here. But it's the dynamic has changed. The focus has changed. Because now really all I need, now all I want, you got good knees, brother? Now I'm just using you as an example. You're fine, you sit there. Now I just want to be able to come and sit in my daddy's lap and say, Daddy, thank you for loving me. Thank you for getting me that ice cream. Amen? That's more important to me than any of these other things. See, beloved, it's all about relationships. God said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, your neighbor as yourself. And I find most Christians don't like themselves. And I want to give you a real, real deep truth. This is deep now. You better learn to love yourself, because wherever you go, there you are. Amen. Wherever you go, there you are. Amen. So I'm trying to learn to be my best friend. Amen. Can you imagine? You remember Jesus is coming for a bride. Have you ever seen a bride that stood down there at the other end of the church and just came in off the backhoe, digging the ditch and all in her dirty
hair rollers?
Hair rollers, yes. Oh, praise God. Deliver us. Amen. Can you imagine? No. Beloved, our King is coming for us.
Amen.
Our King is coming for us. Our King is coming for us. Do you want to be in that bride? Of course you do. Now I want to ask you to do something. We didn't spend much time here, but I think you get the point. It's about relationships, beloved. Now there's only three places that I see you can be broken, either with God, with someone else, or with ourselves. And if you listen to those stories that I told, in each case, there's a relationship broken. And don't forget, because it's very important, that when your relationship is broken between you and someone else, then it's automatically broken with who? God. Come on. If your relationship is broken between you and you, then your relationship is automatically broken with who? God. If you're holding unforgiveness towards yourself, you're just as much coming against the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as if you had it against someone else. Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Many of you in this room are living in shame from past sins. It might be yesterday. It could be this morning. Or it could be 40 years ago. I want to ask you this question. If you're in Christ, what does He do with your sins? Come on. It's not a trick question. What does He do with them? They're gone. What? If you confess your sins, says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you look at this right here, we're just going to use this as an example. We'll turn it upside down. This is your sin sheet. And I call up God, okay? And this used to happen to me. Accusing spirits would torment me when I was driving. I'd remember all those things that I had done. Oh, gosh. Yucky things. Right? And I'd remember all those things. And these things would sit there on my shoulder and remind me of all these things. And I would just awful. And I'd spend the day in the car going, "Oh, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over that sin, that sin, that sin, that sin, that sin, that sin." And finally one day the Lord said to me, excuse me. I don't know what you're talking about. I said, "What do you mean?" You know, here it is. Boom, boom, boom. He said, "Sorry, I can't find it on your list." He said, "It's not on your list." Because those sins that I had already confessed and that He'd thrown away, He said, "Well, here's what He was seeing." That's what He saw. Now, if He can forgive me, then how should I not be able to forgive myself? In fact, I don't know if this is really theologically correct, but I'll say it anyway. If you don't forgive yourself, you're trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus. You're saying that your sin is bigger than God's provision of Jesus. That is theologically correct. Amen?
Amen.
Now, beloved, none of your sin, your issue, your past, your present is bigger than God. None of it. Amen? Are you with me? Come on, church. This is very important. Because I believe God wants to do some healing right now. Right here tonight. I believe God wants to do some deliverance. He wants to deliver some people from shame and guilt. From shame and guilt. Amen? And He wants to... You see what happens with God is when He delivers us from these things, when we agree with God. See, all repentance is not complicated. All repentance is agreeing with God. That's it. Saying, "Okay, God said it, that's what I need to do about it." And that's what we're doing. That's what some of you have been doing as you've been listening to these. Some of you have gone, "Oh my goodness. Some of these things that He's talking about have been issues in my life." Am I right? So even as we've been sharing, you've been dealing with God in your heart. Come on. So let's take it another step. Thank you, Lord. Some of you in this room, there's some of you, and I don't know where you are or anything, but let me know. I feel like you got a band right around your head right here. You ever see that thing on the, I think it's in some of those science shows or something, you know, get this like this band. Like they put the screws and it's getting tighter. Who is that? The one here? Here? Okay, two. Okay, y'all come here. Y'all come here. Who else? Is there anybody else? Don't be bashful. It felt like there was a band right here. Just, you know, that thing that's squeezing down on your head. We just want to pray for them because I believe, you see, I don't believe God reveals unless He wants to heal. And I saw that before the service. And I believe God wants to take that away if you'll let it go. But I want you to do something for me. Just say, Jesus, I belong to you. Every tormenting sin.
Every tormenting sin.
Every accusing spirit.
Every accusing spirit.
That has beat me up.
Beat me up.
I recognize.
I recognize.
I say, leave me.
Leave me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. Now let's just receive it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, release the bands from his head in Jesus' name. Go ahead and pray for him. Yeah, please. In the name of Jesus, Father, break it. Yes, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Shame is a killer, beloved. Everybody's got any shame in your life. If you don't mind, stand up. I'm already standing. This is not to put anybody on notice now. I want you to pray with me. Will you pray with me? I need your permission. Amen? It doesn't matter whether the shame's there. It could have been stealing a nickel pack of gum. It could be over a murder or an abortion. It could be over all kinds of things. The devil doesn't care. The devil just loves to beat you up. Amen? So pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I purpose and I choose to repent for all shame and all guilt that's on my life, for any past sin. Now just under your breath, name it. Just you name it. You don't have to say it out loud. We all got it. You might be like me, and I wouldn't even want to. Goodness gracious. Just let them all go. Now say this. Father, in Jesus' name, I command every evil spirit of guilt and shame to loose my body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, release her in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it go, saints. Let it go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He wants to give you some special anointing, Lexington Group, in Jesus' name. He's releasing you in the name of Jesus. Look at me, sister. In Jesus' name, I release you from that thing in Jesus' name. The torment of the enemy came in. You listened. You heard. And it's become almost a thing. You can't get rid of it. In Jesus' name, I command it to loose you and let you go. In Jesus' name. You are not shame. You are not guilt. You are a daughter of the Most High God. Amen? Amen. Amen. We were talking about fibromyalgia. If you've got fibromyalgia, come up here. We're going to all pray for you.
This is the end. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.